though she didn't dare. I could tell she wanted to turn toward me. Back at the sandworm. You shouldn't have done what you did either. Save you? That was different. I didn't have the cargo the Alliance needed on my person then. If I had, you'd still have saved me, I said confidently. In truth, you shouldn't have come back at all. Even if you didn't want to be known as the woman who let Mark Ryder die, you should have sent one of the others back. They're your subordinates. They're more expendable in the eyes of the Alliance. That's certainly what protocol would have dictated. Things were moving too quickly, she answered, flustered. And I didn't want them to get themselves killed. Bullshit. You didn't send them because you knew they wouldn't be able to do it. And you knew they knew that, Mina. They'd have never dared to get close enough to that thing to attack it, let alone put themselves in harm's way. You came back because you knew you were the only chance I had, and you didn't want me to die. Is that such a bad thing? She asked, her voice suddenly softer. Of course not. Just don't act like it is when I want to return the favor. She stayed silent for long enough for me to wonder exactly what it was she was thinking about. It was impressive, though, she finally said, nodding forward, though she almost certainly meant it for me. I have never, in all my years of service, seen someone do what you did back there. I would have been inspired if I wasn't so busy getting my ass kicked. She shook her head. If I'd just been able to fight those other two off, then two more might have come, I said, swallowing hard. Or five more, or 10. The truth is, we have no idea what we're up against down here. And that's not our fault. I get that you're used to being able to depend on the Alliance. After all, they've obviously have taken a liking to you. I shrugged, unaffected. I mean, otherwise, how would you get to choose your own squad? But they dropped the ball on this one. She was quiet again. I was about to open my mouth to add to what I had just said, probably with a general complaint about the state of upper management in the Alliance, when she spoke. His name was Adam, she said plainly. I met him when we were in training and, contrary to what people might have thought, nothing happened between us then. It wasn't until after, when we were both stationed at the same post, that things started moving forward between us. It was quiet things at first. He'd leave a flower for me or write a coded note I'd have to figure out. Only the third letter of every other word would mean something. You know, crap like that. You loved him? I asked, narrowing my eyes. Eventually, she answered. And then, sometime after I came to that realization, he got down on one knee and asked me to marry him. The revelation surprised me. I never knew you were married. He wouldn't have, she admitted. It was all very hush-hush. He wanted a life in command, and I wanted to stay in the infantry. He wanted to shout it from the rooftops. But I told him that marrying a roughneck would give him trouble. People would look at him as conflicted. He'd never be able to make decisions about what battles to fight without some donor or politician suggesting he was just looking out for his wife. She sighed. So I convinced him to keep it quiet, and he did. I was right, too. With most of the Alliance assuming he was single, he moved up in the ranks. He became security commissioner. And he kept that position until the bugs blew up the outpost he was stationed on. Wait a second, I said, searching through the cockles of my brain. You were married to Adam Roscoe? I remembered that story. I remembered the funerals televised worldwide after the outpost was attacked and destroyed. And I remembered I knew that particular commissioner, the one who died. He became something of a tragic celebrity after that. I met him once. Went on a mission with him. I know, he told me. He was impressed by you. He even told me he thought I'd like you. Said you were a man after my own. She never got a chance to finish that sentence. The bugs had taken us down a long tunnel and, now that we were at the end of it, there were two sets of staircases, one leading up and the other down. The bug in front spun, grabbing Claire and thrusting her down the first set of stairs. She stumbled onto the steps but managed to stop herself from falling down them. The bug pointed for Mina to follow, which she did. I started after her, but the bug stopped me, pointing for me to go upward. God, they were going to separate us. No, I said firmly. I planted my feet so it understood what I meant. It reared back and slapped me with a gauntleted hand. Blood filled my mouth as my head shot backward. The elite grabbed my face and turned it forcefully. So I was reminded of the sword tip still dangerously close to Jill. Fine, I muttered, pushing upright and walking up the stairs. I heard footsteps behind me, and looking back, I saw Jill was being sent up with me. I breathed at least a small sigh of relief. If things went south, at least I could protect one of them. At the top of the stairs was a flat expanse of concrete and stone. It was walled on three sides, blocking most of the space off, and was completely dark except for a single globe glowing with some kind of bioluminescent material.
What is this place?
Jill asked as the bug led us up to the slab before heading back down a few of the steps. It didn't need to answer. As soon as we were in place and the elite was far enough away, a fence of crisscrossing blue energy surrounded us, cutting us off from the staircase entirely and trapping us in. It was clear from the look on Jill's face that, like me, she knew exactly what this place was. A jail cell. 30. I watched as Jill ran a hand through her purple hair. She was a strange mix of things, that woman. One second she was like a little girl, shy, timid, scared of everything. The next she was as fierce a woman and warrior as I had ever seen, going for things with a near reckless abandon that was almost criminal in its intensity. During the few hours since we had been separated from Mina and Claire, I'd watched her go from afraid of what the future was going to bring, to consigned and resigned to die, all the way to spitting angry as she screamed for the bugs to come and get her. In that time, I came to a conclusion. There was a fire in this woman, a bright burning flame that needed direction. She was still young, though, young enough not to be sure which direction to point that flame. So it burned brightly. It burned beautifully, and it burned tragically. Worse though, it burned dangerously and destructively. It burned for good and bad, right and wrong, low and high, and more often than not, it did so all at once. That was a hell of a thing, the exuberance of freshly minted adulthood. It's a time when you think the role isn't as big as people have warned you it is. A time when the trials of your life seem small, and a time when, for whatever reason, you think things are not only going to be okay, but maybe even be easy. It's naive, but also beautiful. If I died today, I would be happy to at least do so in the presence of that. To be reminded of what life looked like before I really had to live in it. "Don't tell me it'll be okay," she said, breaking the silence and glaring at me with intense purple eyes. "Okay," I responded. It was the first time we'd spoken in an hour.
"I mean it. No matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets or how much I freak out, I don't want to hear that it's going to be okay."
She shook her head.
"Not if it's not, anyway."
"Jill," I started, sighing and feeling like I needed to talk some sense into her.
"No."
She threw a hand up in my face.
"I'm not a damn child, and I don't intend on being treated like one. If I'm going to die tonight, I'm going to do it with dignity. I'm going to do it with my head held high. I don't need some man whispering sweet lies in my ear."
She looked me up and down.
"Even if that man is Mark Ryder."
"Fair enough. I won't tell you everything is going to be okay unless it is." I slid closer to her, sitting on the stone floor with our backs against the far wall. "You have to do something for me, though."
"What's that?"
she asked, narrowing her violet eyes at me. "You have to tell me what the hell is up with your hair." I let a rare smile spread across my face, Hey, just because she told me I couldn't say things were going to be all right didn't mean I couldn't act like they would be. In my experience, getting someone's mind off a dire situation when there was nothing to do about it was the best possible option. And right now, with energy bars holding us in place and no way of knowing if the others were okay, there was nothing we could do about it.
You don't like it?
She asked, blinking away a burst of sudden confusion before smiling at me a little. I didn't say that, I responded. It's nice, it's unique.
Unique is old person for bad, she scoffed, looking away from me.
Did you just call me an old person? My smile widened as I shook my head. I'm not even 35, she shrugged.
I call them like I see them. Don't take it hard, though. I didn't say it was a bad thing.
She looked me up and down.
Sometimes old people are hot.
I chuckled loudly, surprising myself. Jill's eyes widened.
Don't do that,
she admonished. I looked back at her. Do what?
That.
She pointed at my face.
I know that look. Do you think I'm a child? Do you think I'm ridiculous and stupid?
She leaned closer, and I saw her purple lips glisten in the light of our cell.
I'm not a child.
I didn't say you were. My heart sped up a little at her sudden proximity.
People always do that to me,
she said, still close.
They always underestimate me. They see my hair, see my eyes and my lips, and they put me in a box. All I am is a sixth-generation millennial to those bastards. But I'm more than that.
She swallowed hard, and I could see the need in her eyes. She needed me to listen, to understand. She needed me to believe in her.
I'm smart. I'm capable. I'm worldly.
Her voice tilted up at the end. Telling me the last assertion was more of a question than anything else. You've been through more than 90% of people your age, and for the moment, you're still here. That makes you more than worldly, in my opinion. She nodded at me.
Honestly, sometimes I don't feel like it. I know I'm capable. I know I'm good at what I do, but sometimes I wonder if I gave up too much to get there.
She shook her head again, purple bangs swaying over her eyes.
I was focused on who I wanted to be, so sure the intensity I felt was proof I should be doing what I'm doing now. I closed myself off to a lot of avenues.
You are motivated. There's nothing wrong with that, I answered, looking her up and down. Her body was tilted toward me like an invitation, her suit skin tight and her eyes glistening in the light.
That's what I thought, too. I was proud of who I was, of what I had become. I still am. It's just now that I'm not sure if I'm gonna make it. I've started thinking about all the things I missed out on, all the stuff I never did.
Like what? I found myself leaning closer to her.
I never went to my prom. I was so focused on keeping my grades up in order to get into the infantry fast track program. I never took the time to date people. When prom came around, it seemed I was the only one without a date, so I sat it out.
She shrugged.
Seems stupid now. I should have gone alone. I should have danced the night away with my friends.
She shook her head.
I can't remember the last time I danced.
Dance now, I suggested. Get up and dance, I'm the only other person here. I'll do it with you if you want me to. She smiled at me. But there was something else under her smile. Another kind of need.
That's not all I've never done,
she explained. And this time it was Jill who was leaning closer to me. Oh, yeah? I asked, feeling my throat go dry.
I told you I never took the time to date.
I felt her hand on my leg, moving up past my knee. My muscles tightened and my heart pounded.
Some guys asked me, sure, but none of them ever seemed worth my time. None of them were ever men, you know?
I think I do, but why don't you tell me just to be sure?
I got the hair before I joined the Marines. I used to be blonde, but I felt different. I felt like a new person, and I wanted to show that off. I wanted to be who I felt like I was on the inside. Maybe that was stupid. Maybe I should have known that the girl I was has always been enough. Even if I didn't give her everything she needed. Everything she wanted. Her hand was on my upper thigh now. And I could feel the heat of Jill's breath on my face. Her cheeks were flushed. And her lips parted. I used to think that people like you were heroes. That you were the best the world had to offer. I didn't think that because you fought bugs or because you got the medal to build weapons. I thought that because you helped people. Because when others needed you, you were there for them. She swallowed hard, her chest heaving so hard and far I was sure she'd burst out of her suit. I don't want to die a virgin, Lieutenant Ryder. I don't want to go to my grave not knowing what it feels like to be touched by a man. By a real man. Her other hand moved to my face, brushing the stubble that had grown on my cheek since we'd been here. You're a hero. The greatest hero Earth has ever seen, maybe. You're always helping people. So maybe you can help me? Will you save me from that? I felt her shift next to me. Felt her crawl on top of me as she leaned down until our lips were nearly touching. Her eyes met mine. The hunger was clear. The need was clear. Who the hell was I to say no? Yes, I answered in a quick breath. Yes, ma'am, I will. Then I pressed my lips to hers and pushed her against the floor. 31. An hour of pleasure passed, and then another hour of silence and a bit of sleep before we heard footsteps coming up the staircase toward us. We were dressed again, Jill and I, and were sitting with our backs against the wall as if nothing had ever happened between us when the energy bars came down. Unlike Claire, Jill was more than happy to look to me for advice and support after our little tryst. Her eyes shot to me as the footsteps grew louder. Her hand found my own, wrapping around my palm and squeezing before she let go.
Remember what I said, she whispered. No matter what happens, don't lie to me about things. I can handle it.
I know you can, I said, looking forward. Two elite bugs approached. I realized they looked slightly different from the ones before as they appeared in front of us. They were larger and somewhat bulkier with even heavier armor. They motioned for us to stand before pointing to the staircase. I took a deep breath, gave Jill a pensive look, and stood. Jill followed suit but made sure to stay behind me as we walked toward the creatures. "We'll come peacefully," I said as though they could understand me. "There's no need to use force." My eyes trailed down to the weapons on their belts and then back up again. "No need," I repeated in an attempt to make sure they understood. Wordlessly, the elites pointed to the staircase again. I moved down it, looking back at Jill to make sure she was allowed to pass unharmed. Once I was sure she was following me, I set my sights on the staircase. It looked huge now, at least three times as long as it had when we walked up it. As I went down, I realized why. A marking I had seen when we approached was still there, but the floor was not. It had been removed somehow, making me think it was a false bottom, and that the staircase ran much further than we expected. I wonder if Mina and Claire had gone down this far, and if so, if they were okay. Had they met some horrible fate? Were we about to follow them? Those questions swirled in my head, along with more than a few tactical maneuvers I could use if things got hairy. As far as I knew, my suit was still less than optimal, but I was pretty sure I could access some of my more reliable weapons without a direct connection to the Alliance. Of course, doing so without the presence of Annabelle would be tricky. Still, I might be able to manage it. And if I couldn't, well, I had a hell of a right cross. As I reached the bottom of the staircase, it dawned on me just how foolish an idea that was. At the end of the steps lay a huge room,
filled with more of those glowing gloves and ornate baubles obviously created from the Olibrium we had been brought down here to retrieve. A dozen elites lined each of the walls, with more in the center of the room. Near the far wall, in a huge chair made from more Olibrium, sat a very strange-looking bug. The creature looked nothing like any of the others I had ever seen. With spread translucent wings, a human-like face, long black hair draped down across her back, and a shape that, God help me, struck me as tempting. Now, I wasn't sure if this bug was a woman, but it damn sure seemed that way to me. Only, that didn't make any sense. Akbarians were sexless. They produced asexually. Everyone knew that. Bug fighting 101. But if that was the case, what the hell was this thing, and what did she want from us? Other normal-looking elites hung around what I now saw was a throne. They prostrated themselves at her feet like it was some place of honor, as though they were paying homage. It was then I realized I was looking at some sort of royalty, like a queen bug. I felt Jill settle beside me, then felt the push of the elites who had come to retrieve us at my back. They nudged me forward, and as they did, I watched the bugs surrounding us stare at me like I was something out of a horror movie, like I was, well, an alien. The crowd of elites parted as Jill and I made our way toward the queen and her throne. As they did, I saw two figures on their knees in front of the elites sprawled at the foot of the gaudy chair. My heart raced and my body relaxed as I realized I was looking at Mina and Claire. They were alive, at least for the moment. They looked back at me. I studied them, looking for signs that they were hurt or otherwise abused. I found none. In fact, other than a look of fear in Claire's eyes and a subdued rage in Mina's, the pair looked no worse for the wear. Hands fell across my shoulders as I settled in front of the throne. They pushed me down hard until I too was on my knees. Once they'd finished with me, they did the same for Jill. With all four of us bowed and subservient, the bug woman sat up. Her eyes, like human eyes, drifted over each of us to the next before settling on me. "I have heard," the bug woman said in perfect English directly into my head, as though she was using Annabelle's software or something, "that for centuries, the rules in which we as Akbarians live was circumvented on your world. Is that true, soldier? Do you worship men as opposed to women? Do you fill your thrones and seats of power with the male gender?" "I worship no one," I answered, strength roaring in my voice. The other three looked at me strangely, making me think they couldn't hear what was going on in my head. "Do not concern yourself with the women of your tribe," the queen gestured at them. "I'll bring them into our little chat when the time is right. For now, I'd just like to see where the battle lines are drawn."
"I'd say they're drawn right here," I said, looking down at the space right in front of me. "Right at this very mark."
The woman flung her head back and started to laugh, a near-human laugh.
"You're quite the soldier, aren't you? I was half expecting the lot of you to grovel at my feet and beg for your lives. I'm so glad you're not the type. We have no patience for weakness here, Lieutenant Ryder, and regardless of what you might think, I don't want to kill you today."
"How do you know my name?" My jaw tightened as I took a deep breath.
"Your technology,"
she explained, a lithe hand gesturing toward the suit I was wearing.
"It's primitive, but it holds all your personal information. I found myself to be more than up to the task of breaking into it. More than your name, I know your blood type, birthday, and sexual preference."
She grinned at me.
"Among other things."
"They record that?"
I was a bit shocked, but strangely not as surprised as I should have been.
"No, but the look on your face is more than telling. I like to think it's part of my charm, being able to mimic my prey. It makes destroying them so much easier.
I looked at her, nearly spitting in disgust. Did that mean her form was malleable? That she was able to change it depending on who she was up against? If so, was that why she looked like a cross between her species and a swimsuit model? What do you want from us? I asked, narrowing my eyes at her.
For you to succeed, of course,
she said with a shrug.
You came here with a mission. You wish to pilfer precious metals from a cave on the other side of the expanse. My receivers picked up your transmissions before you even landed. Unfortunately, my rival did too. She knew of your people's encroachment on her land from the first moment that ridiculous drone broke into our atmosphere. And she planned accordingly.
Your rival? I asked, obviously confused.
Do you think all Akburians get along?
The queen shook her head at me.
Do you think we know nothing of dueling ideologies and power struggles, of territory lines and tribal warfare?
She scoffed.
We are not so different, our peoples.
Your people are monsters, I answered before I could stop myself.
Monstrous acts are all a point of perspective. If you disagree, ask the Native Americans of your land who the real monsters are.
She smiled, clearly relishing my shock.
We do our own research, Lieutenant Ryder. We are not all brainless insects.
She stood, and as she did, all the elites in the room hit their knees silently.
There's a power struggle going on in my world, Lieutenant Ryder, the queen explained. A rival queen by the name of Teela is encroaching on my lands. She wishes to have what is mine, and I will not allow that. She saw you coming and drove you into my caves, hoping she could use you to eliminate me forever. Well, I have a plan of my own, a plan to bring about her end.
We want nothing to do with your plans, I said, my teeth ground together. We want nothing to do with your infighting.
Luckily for me, I'm not giving you a choice. Your goal was to rid Teela's caves of her metal, as that is the source of much of her sway here. I want to help you. Should you refuse that offer, I will kill one of the women with you and ask you again. Should you refuse a second time, I will kill both the remaining women. A third time, and I will chop off your hands and your sex organ. At which point you'll be of no use to anyone. So I'll let my people take turns beating you as you live out your remaining years in one of my cells.
She shook her head.
Or you can do as I ask of you. My men will take you through a secret tunnel that will deposit you along one of the weaker points of Teela's territory. We will take no active part in the destruction of her lands. But should you succeed, we will stand down and allow you to take the metal.
How do I know? I pressed. How do I know you'll actually let us have it when the fight is over?
You don't, the queen admitted. But I can tell you one thing you should know to be true. Should you double-cross me, should you promise to uphold your end of this deal and go back on it once I've reinstated your communications devices, I'll shoot every Earth ship that comes for you out of the sky. Innocent people will die, and you will still remain my prisoner. Now what say you?
I can't speak for these women, I answered. Earth isn't the way it used to be. They should have their own say over what they do.
I will open the communications to them, but it will cost one of them their lives. Choose.
She peered at me. You're not serious, I said.
I am more than serious, she replied. I did not go through the trouble of kidnapping you, bringing you here, seeping into your neural device, and transferring my language to Earth drivel to have a democratic debate. Hesitation has its price. Today, that price will be the life of one of these women. She smiled at me. Unless, of course, you'd like to accept my offer right now?
I sighed heavily. We both knew she had me. Fine. I agree. We agree.
What have you agreed to?
Mina asked me, panicked. I didn't look at her. What was the use?
Good.
The queen smiled.
One final issue. You have one of my citizens. He lays trapped in your suit as we speak. If you wish for me to treat your people with respect, you must first do the same for mine. Give me the specimen in your suit, and I will instruct my men to take you where you need to go. Do not, and one of your women will die. It will be, as you say, a fair trade. One of mine for one of yours.
I get it, I answered in a huff. Here. I stuck my arm out and pressed a button, causing the compartment in my suit to open and reveal the leech.
Thank you, Lieutenant Ryder, the queen said, reaching out and taking the vial.
With a flick of her wrist, she opened the container and freed the leech inside.
No, Mina said. That's our...
It is not yours, the queen said. And I could tell from the look on Mina's face she could hear her now.
He does not belong to you. In fact, until I saw fit, you belong to me.
She looked over at the elites at either of her sides.
Take them to their destiny.
32.
I can't believe we're doing this. Claire said from her position at the front of the line, right behind our elite guide.
It was strange. After the queen gave us our marching orders, the elite she'd sent us with positioned us right back into our places. It made me think there was a reason, like maybe they were going to separate us again. Part of me knew better, of course. After all, why would the bug queen let us go just to screw with us again? If she wanted us dead... She'd had plenty of opportunities. No. She had told me the truth back in her throne room. Or at least it was all the truth she thought I needed to know to do what she wanted.
Working for bugs?
Jill asked from behind me.
Yes!
Claire shook her head. There was whining in her voice that made her sound younger than her years. And if I hadn't known better, that would make me think she wasn't able to handle herself. I knew she wasn't incapable, though. I'd seen her man a whip. I had seen her do other things, too. Things that told me she was all woman and all in control. Still, I had to admit, this was a scary situation. In fact, I couldn't think of a time in my long and storied career when things had gone this far off the rails. It only made sense for her to be a little off kilter about all of it. Luckily for us, the elites didn't seem to share their queen's ability to get into our minds and speak our language, which meant they likely didn't understand what she or Jill were saying.
We do what we must to survive, Mina answered sternly. They don't teach you that in the Alliance.
Yes, they do,
Jill said from behind me. Her proximity to me had grown more pronounced since our encounter in the cell, and I couldn't tell whether that was because she was afraid and figured I was her best bet at survival, or because she felt close to me after what we'd done together.
It's the first thing they say.
It might be the first thing they say, but it sure as hell isn't the first thing they mean,
Mina explained as we exited the tunnels. We stepped out into the desert of the moon's surface again. It was dark out, exactly what I had been trying to avoid. Still, the night had mostly passed us by as we sat captive in the queen's lair. A hint of ambient light shimmered in the distance, giving the world the soft glow that told us morning would break soon.
The Alliance is all about what they can sell to you, Mina continued. And I don't mean upgrades and the promises of early retirement.
She cleared her throat.
The truth is, where the Alliance really makes their money is through turnover.
More soldiers means more government funding, so they breed a world where people are ready and willing to ignore the obvious and throw themselves into an abyss. And what's the obvious?
Jill's voice cracked slightly.
That this is fucking dangerous,
Mina said with about as much emotion as you'd expect from someone ordering a ham sandwich with light mayo.
There's a good chance we won't survive this. And if we do, there's an even better chance we won't survive the next mission. We constantly face death, Jill. That's the truth. So to get you to ignore that simple fact, they tell you how amazing an opportunity it is to be among heroes and walk with legends. Isn't it, though?
Jill asked as we crossed a long, dry-looking plain.
Sure. But the truth is that heroes and legends are just who you say they are.
Mina sighed and shook her head.
If the Alliance needed more doctors or lawyers, then an onslaught of commercials would tell you they're the real heroes, and that anyone who decided to go into the military was obviously an idiot or mental defect.
Obviously deflated by the tone in her voice, Jill muttered.
That's a dark way to look at things. Not really, because the truth is, they're not wrong. Sure, the Alliance is basically lying to you. They're lying to us all. But no matter what people want to believe about those who fight for their freedom, the fight against the bugs is still happening. If you can look past the bullshit and the stories about legendary Marines, present company excluded, she looked back at me, then you'll see the real reason we do this. And there's beauty in that. Moreover, there's strength.
You're good, I muttered low enough to be confident she was the only one who could hear me. She was as impressive with pep talks as she was with missions, and that wasn't a talent to be taken lightly. In fact, it made her an even better leader than I already thought she was. You're damn good.
I know that,
she murmured back, equally quiet. I felt a connection to her now different than I had before. She had always been an equal of mine. Close enough to split the difference in one direction or another. Now, though, Mina John was something else. She was my bunker mate. She was my partner. She understood what it meant to be me in a way I wasn't really sure any other person in this or any world ever really could. I didn't say any of that, of course. We were being marched near certain death by a group of bugs who had instructions to kill us if we so much as looked like we were going to step out of line. Now wasn't really the best time to tell the woman how much I admired her. A little cheesy, and I wasn't the type for that. We've got this, is all I said. We've made it this far. We can make it the rest of the way. It was wishful thinking at best, and a downright lie at worst. Mina probably knew that. The look she shot me certainly told me she did. Still, the others were young enough to believe that I knew what the hell I was talking about, and that life wasn't just this giant shot in the dark 90% of the time. If they were going to die tonight, they might as well do it with confidence. Mina must have agreed because she didn't stop me. The Queen thinks we have a shot at this, I said. And the intel she gave us is certainly useful.
Intel?
Mina asked, turning back to me again with narrowed eyes as we walked.
What intel?
The maps of Teela's land, I said as though she should have known what I was talking about.
That bitch!
Nina snarled through gritted teeth in a tone I know would have been louder if not for the elites on either side of us. They might not have been able to understand our language, but a shout was a shout regardless of how you said it.
She didn't send me any damn maps. In fact, my suit still isn't completely functional.
My suit wasn't completely functional either. Annabelle's sweet voice had yet to return to my headspace. I did have the maps, though, showing a bug city in a cavernous valley that, if I was right, was situated right at the end of the plains we were now walking on. I'm sorry, I answered. I'd send it to you if I could. It was the truth. Mina was more than fit to help me with planning this attack. In fact, she'd proven to be a real asset. The suits were still down, though, so the information would have to remain with me for the time being. As we neared the end of the plain and found ourselves standing on a cliff, I saw Tila's city stretch out before me. Hives, sandhills, and even clay mounds stretched out. The outer rim of the city's circle was surrounded by guards, all elites, all armed and studded with armor. Getting into this city would be a tall order. Taking it down would be damn near impossible.
My God, Claire murmured as we fanned out into a straight line at the edge of the cliff.
The elites backed off, pushing buttons on their wrist cuffs. As they did, I heard a low buzz in my ear, and then a familiar sound.
Lieutenant Ryder,
Annabelle said.
It's been too long.
Oh, thank God, I answered. At that moment, I would have rather heard that robotic, wonderful voice than that of my own mother. Longer than you can imagine, Annabelle.
I'm scanning the area and situational variables as we speak, as well as sending coordinates and a progress report to Alliance headquarters, she explained. I'm afraid anything that happened during my rest period, or during the time in which my capabilities were compromised, will not be included in the report.
That's probably for the best, I said, remembering all that had gone down. Just tell them where we are, that we're getting close to the Olibrium they asked for, and to be ready to receive it. Oh, and tell them the damn thing is a valley and not a cave. Their intelligence is for shit. I glanced at Mina, who was no doubt having a similar conversation with her own AI. And send Mina a copy of the new geographical data in your database.
Affirmative. A transcript has been sent to the Alliance. My scans have been completed, and I forwarded the maps to Officer John, she said. With the initial overlook of both our current situation, as well as the mission objective. With the human vernacular, we are fucked, be a reasonable summation of where we found ourselves.
Yeah, Annabelle. I looked down at the bug Mecca as the elites with us stepped back, leaving us to our fates. I think it would be. 33. This was it. I looked down at the valley full of bugs milling about and the circle of elite guards that protected them. After a mission that stretched out well past what it was supposed to be. After losing the son of a friend I had lost years ago. And connecting with a group of women who had surprised me in more ways than I ever could have imagined. I was standing here. It seemed strange that all this existed without the Alliance's knowledge. This was an entire world. An ecosystem under the guise of nothingness. If this was what happened on the moon of Fennel, then I could only shudder when thinking of what secrets the bug's homeworld was likely hiding from us. Still, I didn't have time to think about that now. Now was the time to figure out how we were going to do the impossible. Mina was still hungrily looking at the intel. She stared at it for a few more moments as I stood there quietly, letting her process. I'd always hated it when people asked me questions while I was trying to formulate a plan, so I figured she must have felt the same way about things, too. That's why I was so surprised when she looked at me and asked,
"So what do you think?"
Protocol dictated there could only be one leader per squad. According to the Alliance, the buck had to stop somewhere, and Mina had made it perfectly clear on more than one occasion that it was her. So why did she want to let me in on the decision-making at this point? Could it have been that I had earned that sort of stature, at least in her eyes? We have a circle of elites surrounding an entire valley full of bugs. I have to imagine at least some of them can fight.
I guess most of them can, Mina agreed. I'm also going to go out on a limb and say that this intel isn't complete. There's a huge space in the center of this canyon where nothing is. Have you ever known the heart of anything to be empty?
I have not, I admitted, nodding at her. Good point.
And we don't know where the metal is either?
Her eyebrows furrowed. Not unless you found something I didn't in there. I'm pretty sure that if we can't see huge stacks of metal from here, it's underground.
My thoughts exactly, Mina nodded. That must be why there's nothing in the center. There must be a tunnel to the holding room or something.
So we need to get there, to the center, I said, putting it together.
Which means we need to get through the circle of elites and stroll through a city full of bugs sight unseen, Claire added, her tone dripping with sarcasm. Little did the woman know that she had just spoken my plan exactly. That's what it means, Mina said, speaking before I had the chance to. And that's what we're going to do.
Excuse me? Jill asked, looking from Mina to me. What she just described was a suicide mission.
It's always a suicide mission, I answered, walking closer to Mina and staring Jill down. You effectively committed suicide the moment you joined up. Deal with it. All any of us can hope for now is to buy a few more cool gadgets before we die. I arched my eyebrows at Mina. Got a plan?
Same as yours, I'm sure. She shrugged. Cloaking spheres, grappling gear, and prayer.
She was right. She had just stated, more or less, my entire idea for getting through this alive. We'd shroud ourselves in cloaking spheres and descend this cliff with our grappling upgrades. Then we'd cause some sort of diversion, something big and loud enough to create a hole in the circle of elites. We'd sneak through, and if we were lucky, we would get to the center of the city sight unseen. There would be more to do after that. That only brought us to the place where I thought the metal was. If I was wrong, or if there was more to the security than I was counting on, we'd have to come up with some serious survival skills on the fly. That was where we were, though. We'd make do when we needed to make do. We were Marines. That was part of the job. Got cloaking spheres? I asked, looking at the two younger women. I didn't need to wonder about Mina. Like me, she was stacked, packed, and loaded with all the upgrades she would ever need.
Yes, Jill answered quickly.
To my surprise, so did Claire. Alpha level? I asked, alluding to the highest upgrade of cloaking that was possible to buy.
Yes, Jill said.
But Claire stayed quiet. Damn it, Claire, I said, glaring at her.
What? She asked. No one needs alpha level cloaking. The regular package is good enough.
Good enough gets you killed, I said offhandedly. It was something I had learned early on, and it stayed with me my entire career. We needed to be better than good enough. We needed to be perfect, because even that wasn't enough half the time. I pressed Claire further. What if they have thermal technology? What if they have sonar technology? The basic package only shields you from standard visuals.
This is a town in the crater of a moon. What are the chances they have advanced surveillance tech? She shot back.
It's a town in the crater of a moon that the Almighty Alliance had no idea was even here, I retorted, angrier than I should have been. The chances are better than I want to bet on. I shook my head. You're not going down there with the basic package. Buy the goddamn upgrade or stay here.
You don't tell me what to do.
Claire balked in response.
Buy the upgrade, Mina barked. You should have already had it.
Claire looked from Mina to me.
It'll cost me all my money, she said quietly. Every bit of it.
Better than costing you your life, I said. And there was more compassion in my voice than I expected. Do you want to get down there and find they can see you? I gestured at the rest of us. Especially when they won't see us?
If I die anyway, I'm going to be really pissed, she said, shaking her head at me.
Claire's eyes went blue, and I watched as she parted with her money, grabbing an upgrade that would hopefully keep her safe. I'll pretend that makes sense, I said, rubbing my temples.
What about the grappling package? Claire asked. Even if I had the money to add it on, which I don't, you've already told me I'd need to be in the Alliance halls to have it put in.
She sighed.
How am I even going to get down there?
Same way as before, I shrugged. I'm going to bring you down there with me. I looked down at the cliff. Though, hopefully I'll do a better job of it this time.
You will, Mina said, settling right beside me. Because you won't be doing it on your own.
What? I asked.
That was your problem before,
she said. You are trying to hold all of that on your shoulders. I'll help you. Carry half the weight.
I blinked at her, pushing down a smile. All right, then. We'll sandwich her between us.
Sounds good, Mina nodded. Let's do this.
I looked at the group. For better or worse, this was the team I'd found myself with. I would live because of them, or I would die beside them. As strange as it might have seemed, I wouldn't have it any other way. Annabelle, I said, clearing my throat and turning back to the object at hand. Initiate Alpha Cloaking and get me my grappling gear.
Affirmative, she answered,
and a bristle of energy moved through me, turning on the upgrades. I watched as Mina and the others disappeared in front of me, indicating they had turned their Alpha Cloaking on, as well as reminding me of a command I'd forgotten. Oh, Annabelle. Send cloaking invitations to my friends here.
Friends?
Annabelle asked. The Artemis Squad, I clarified.
Yes, Lieutenant Ryder. I am aware of who you were speaking of. I just don't believe I've ever heard you refer to anyone with that word before.
Right, I answered, surprised I'd use it myself. Well, be that as it may, please do as I asked.
Affirmative. Though I am pressed to remind you of the sheer amount of energy cloaking uses, Annabelle said. It is quite taxing on my server as well as your energy. You'll have to do this quick.
I know that. There was now a ticking clock hanging over my head, in addition to every other worry. One by one, the Artemis Squad accepted my invitation. It would put us all on the same frequency, and allow us to see each other even when no one or nothing else could. Everybody ready? I asked, looking at Mina. She nodded and motioned for Claire to move toward me. Claire did so without a word, climbing on my back like before. Mina pressed herself against my side, and Claire put some of her weight on her captain. It felt good, not because I couldn't hold her, but because I knew they had my back. I wasn't on my own, and that meant something. All right, I said quickly. Let's do this quick and clean, in and out. The Alliance ship should be here soon. We need to be ready for them with the metal in hand. A plasma blast slammed into the ground in front of us where we were standing, turning the cliffside into a slag heap. I jumped backward from the blast while holding onto Claire as more fire shredded the cliff.
Oh shit, the elite's coming toward us!
Claire screamed in my ear, her hand darting past us to point over the edge. Sure enough, a few elites had broken from the circle and were rushing up the side of the cliff toward us. I wasn't sure if they'd seen us before we'd shielded ourselves, or if our shielding had somehow caused them to see us. But either way, our covers were blown. Worse, it seemed like they could still see us. Goddamn worthless tech. Alpha shielding my ass. 34. Instinct kicked in as the elites rushed toward us, climbing up the hill with no more effort than it'd take to run across a flat street. It was obvious in that moment how superior their tech was to ours. I'd have never been able to run up a cliff with such ease. We just didn't have the capability. That, in addition to the facts that they outnumbered us 500-1, and that we had just blown the element of surprise, meant we had a tough, if not impossible, road ahead of us. What could we do, though? If we failed, which seemed likely, we would die. But if we didn't try, if we turned tail and ran away, the Queen would shoot the Alliance ships out of the sky. That would make us responsible for the deaths of others. As much as I didn't want to die, the idea of my cowardice costing someone else their life was even worse to me. We would fight. We would likely die, but at least we would do so as Marines who could hold their heads up high. Still, I needed to understand what was going on. Annabelle, get me my pulse laser and tell me why the hell these elites can see us through Alpha Cloaking. The pulse laser appeared in my hand, and she responded,
They cannot, Lieutenant Ryder. Scans of their bodies and armor indicate that they are in possession of nothing that would nullify your cloaking.
I narrowed my eyes. Then how? The truth came to me like a beacon in the sea. I turned quickly, seeing that Mina and the others had armed themselves as well, and that they were getting ready to launch an assault on the elites. Wait, I yelled. We hadn't blown our cover yet, but we were about to. They're not shooting at us. I glanced back at the elites who had led us here and realized what had happened. The bugs below had seen them, not us. It was a good thing we cloaked ourselves when we did, because if we'd been visible for even a few more seconds, we'd be dead. The elites who were, for lack of a better term, on our side for the moment, were also armed. For whatever reason, these bugs didn't like the use of photon cannons or plasma guns. They preferred to rock it out old school with spears, swords, knives, and daggers. Real medieval shit. Whatever the reason for that, I was more than okay with it. It would keep them from attacking until they got close enough for hand-to-hand combat. That was good because it meant we were less likely to get hit by friendly fire. Better, since the elites coming up the cliff couldn't see us. Not only would that give us enough time to move by them unseen, but it also worked to create a hole in the surrounding army. We almost couldn't have asked for a better diversion. Mina saw what was going on and motioned for her girls to get back into place, with Jill at her far side, and Claire climbing back up onto us as we made our way toward the edge of the cliff again. The elites below had stopped firing, presumably to avoid hitting their allies now scaling the cliff. Perfect. This is it, I said. No turning back.
Just the way we like it, Mina answered.
I stifled a grin. Like was a strong word for the unyielding fear and adrenaline rush that came with going into a battle you weren't supposed to live through. God, I needed a session on a therapist's couch. Pushing all of that aside, I looked over at Jill, then Mina, then Claire on my back, and nodded. We all pushed forward, moving down the vertical straight line that was the cliff. Claire's weight still pushed on me, but it wasn't nearly as bad with Mina sharing it. I took a deep breath as we slid, moving faster than Jill. Because of our combined weight, and probably also because we were more skilled at things like this, we reached the attacking elites before Jill did. We were on track to slide right into them. Luckily, our cloaking upgrades also kept our communications silent from the outside world. So when Mina yelled for me to pivot left, it went unheard by the insects as they roared past us. Unfortunately, as I pivoted, Claire's weight shifted on my back, pushing me forward. I stumbled and, for a moment, thought about what it would be like to fall. With both Claire and Mina connected to me, they'd fall too. None of us would survive the crash on the rock and sand floor that still loomed too far down. Our deaths would leave Jill all alone, as she slid down the rock all by herself. In short, if I didn't pull my sorry ass back upright, I was going to kill every one of us. I grunted hard as I threw my weight back, regaining my balance through sheer force of effort. Jesus! Claire shouted, and held tighter onto my neck as though that was going to help something. I got it, I said, my calves burning as I stood straighter. My legs were on fire as we slid down the wall to the ground below. I needed to think through the pain, though. It was the only way we were going to make it. We hit with a nearly inaudible thud as our gear reduced our speed enough to keep us from becoming smashed tin cans full of goop on the floor. Not wasting time, Claire, Mina, and I hurriedly detached from each other while waiting for Jill to descend. She was still a fair bit up the cliff, so I looked back at the ring of elites surrounding the valley. The hole made by the two who had scaled the cliff was still there to some extent, though the bugs on either side had flanked out to cover the affected space. Still, the line was loose enough for us to be able to find our way through if we were careful and a little bit lucky. Jill slammed against the ground harder than even the three of us combined did. Her face was a mess of hurt and strain. This had been more difficult than she imagined it would be. In truth, those things were for a Marine. She stumbled to her knees, and I rushed over to help her up. Thankful all of this went unseen by the elites just a few feet from us. Guess the alpha shielding was worth a damn after all. Get up. We need to move, I said. I looked all around. The elites wouldn't be gone long. All they wanted to do was beat back